So we are holding on pay Dalid Amud Beis, last line. We've been talking about dinim involving where you have two chatzeres or two areas where people live. We talked about, for example, a chatzer and a merpeses, which is a gallery by which people go to their second floor houses. If they didn't make an, so you have cases where they didn't make an eruv jointly, they made it separate eruvin, but, and the question is, if you have something in between, where neither of them uses it directly, so you have three possible scenarios when you have something near your chatzah, near your reshus, which is not in and of itself part of it. You can have where it's within 10 tfachim of your level, and that's called that you're using it as a pesach, as a door. You have where it's at least, where it's 10 or more tfachim above your level, and then it's called you use it with zrika, with throwing something on top of it or throwing over it, whatever. And then you have where it's 10 or more tfachim below your level, and then you use it using shilshul, using lowering something down, using a rope onto it, for example. So we've been discussing what are the various dinim when you have something that's like that between two chatzeres. It's available as a pesach to one. So we said if it's available as a pesach to one and not to the other, then we said it belongs to that one. So for example, in our Mishnah we had a case. Let's say we have people who live on the ground level, on the chatzer level. You have people who live on the merpeses level. We said if you have something in the chatzah that's 10 or more tfachim tall, then it belongs to the people of the merpeses, which we had within that a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Would the same thing apply also if it was more than 10 tfachim below their level? Where then you have that they're using it with shilshul by lowering things down with ropes, and the people in the chatzah are using it by zrika, by throwing things. So we were talking back and forth about various, we were talking about various possibilities involving that. So now the Gemara is going to start a discussion which is going to relate back to that. In this discussion that we're going to discuss now, we're going to discuss more details within that, and we're going to bring in things that we had in the previous sugya, and we're going to be discussing a different angle on it, which is called all this time we've been dealing with where the use of the area that we're talking about is you're using it vertically, you're throwing things vertically from your chatzer onto it, you're lowering things vertically from your merpeses or whatever onto it. What about if you also have a horizontal component of the distance? And we touched on this briefly yesterday in connection with the case. We have two porches and they're drawing water. So you can have where there's not only a vertical component, there's also a horizontal component of four or more tfachim. What are the dinim in that case? So the Gemara says, Amar v'yehuda Amar Shmuel. If you have a water pit between two chatzeres, it's at least four tfachim away from the wall of each chatzer. Now Rashi explains what it is. It's not that the well is shared between the two chatzeres, as in half the well is in one chatzer and half the well is in one chatzer and half is in the other. If that were the case, then actually you have a different din, which we're going to learn later in the perek. We're going to learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, that in that case, what you actually have to do in order for either side to be able to draw water from it, unless they make a joint eruv, they would actually have to make a mechitza in the water, and we'll learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, exactly how that mechitza has to be constructed to make it mutter to take water out of that pit, out of that well, whatever, and bring it to their houses. But over here, the situation is Rashi says the pit, the well, whatever, is located in a small alleyway, where the chatzeres do not open into that alleyway. It's like a back alley where there aren't entrances from the houses into there. There are windows overlooking it, but no entrances. So you said, and the well is at least four tfachim away. So in other words, when each side, when the people of each chatzah want to draw water from it, what they have to do is they have to take their bucket, they have to sort of throw it horizontally out at least four tfachim to reach the well, and then they have to drop it vertically into the well in order to draw water. So this is called that. They're using it ba'avir. They're using it in the air. They're using it with a horizontal component as opposed to the vertical thing that we were talking about until now. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, Zem Motzi Ziz Kol Shehu Mamale. On the one side, they have to make a small ledge on their wall. So Rashi describes the ledge has to reach from their house until the well. However, it doesn't. It has to be four tefachim or more long in order to reach the well. However, it doesn't have to be four tefachim wide. Umamale, and then they're able to fill up water with it, because now what it is now this. So you shouldn't really need a ziz at all. Rashi says the point of the ziz is as a heker, so that you remember that in general you're not allowed to use something that's in somebody else's rishus. So here it's not considered really to be in either one's rishus, because again it's not. It's in this alleyway where neither of their chatzeres open into it. They're more than four tefachim apart, so it's only tashmish ba'aver. So it's only using it in a horizontal way. So therefore, all you need is a heker, namely you have this ziz which sticks out from your house until the well, and that's a heker that then you should realize that this is different than the usual case. Rashi points out the same way we had in Masech the Shabbos. You had a din over there involving where you're on a ship and you want to draw water from the lake or the sea or whatever that you're in, where you have where the lake is a Carmelis, the boat is a Rosh HaSiyachid, Midrabanan, you're not allowed to carry from Carmelis to Rosh HaSiyachid, but in this case, the Chachamim allowed you to make a ziz in order, again, as a heker, like this, you have this ledge, it's a heker over there, it helps remind you that in general, you can't do that. So the same thing, the ziz over here serves the same function. The same thing on the other side, the person also makes a ledge going out from his porch until the well, and then each one of them is allowed to fill up from the well on Shabbos, and it's not considered that they both have joint control over the well such that they should ask of each other to draw water from it unless they make an Eruv. We don't say that. So that was Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda didei Omar. Now Rabbi Yehuda on his own added, it's not even necessary that it should be an actual ledge. It's even good enough if it's just a stick. Even though a stick is not particularly noticeable, the Ritva adds the stick may not even be attached to the wall, unlike a ziz is permanently attached to the wall. Nevertheless, that would be good enough for our purposes to make this heker. So now the Gemara says, Omale Abaya little Yosef. Now, what happened was Abaya had not heard the original statement that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel about making a ziz. All he heard of was the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that a kona is enough. Now, Rabbi Yehuda had been a Talmud by Rav, and then after Rav passed away, he became a Talmud of Shmuel. So sometimes in the Gemara, we have to figure out when we have a statement of Rabbi Yehuda without saying who in whose name it was it from Rav or was it from Shmuel? So that's Abaya's question over here. Omale Abaya le Rabbi Yosef, hod Rabbi Yehuda de Shmuel. This that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's good enough to have a kona, it must be that he learned it from his Rebbe Shmuel. Meaning again, because Abaya hadn't. If Abaya had known of the original statement of Shmuel that you need a ziz, and then that Rabbi Yehuda is saying actually Shmuel didn't mean a ziz, he meant even a kona, then there'd be no question. Obviously, he heard the whole thing from Shmuel. But now Abaya, not knowing that, is going to reconstruct logically that it has to be from Shmuel, de'ide Rav, because if Rabbi Yehuda were to be quoting Rav as far as this, then according to Rav, you shouldn't need anything at all. Because Ha'omer ein adam oisra chaveira derech aver. Rav holds that one person does not ask another person from using an area where their use of it is derech aver, where their use of it involves a distance of four tefachim. So according to Rav, you shouldn't even need a ziz or a kana. Now, by the way, we learned in the Gemara yesterday. We had the discussion. We had the discussion about the case where you have the people in the chotzer and the merpeses, and we said that there was a case where the thing 10 tefachim tall in the chotzer is more than 4 tefachim away from the merpeses, and we talked about dinim in that. So actually, Tosfos says over there that that would really only be according to Shmuel. According to Rav, there's not really an issue with that. In the first place. On the other hand, the Rashba talks about that maybe there's a difference because there you actually have something which literally it does belong in partnership to the people of the Chotzer and the people of the Merpeses. It's a pillar or a mound or whatever that was built in the Chotzer for both of them to be able to use. So that might be different than the case of a here of the Burr, which isn't in either one of their Chatzeres, and it wasn't really built to begin with to serve either one of them. Anyway, the point is that Rav is saying that you can't aser somebody else from using an area where you're using it only derech avir. This is a case where you're using derech avir because the burr is 4 tefachim away from his chatzer and 4 tefachim away from his, and it's in this little alleyway over there rather than being in their actual chatzeres. So according to Rav, no ziz at all should even be necessary. So if Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that you need a ziz or at least a kona, at least a stick, then it has to be that Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Shmuel. Okay, so then the question is, the Shmuel Mehecha. Okay, so if we say that he's getting it from Shmuel, then which statement of Shmuel would he be deducing it from? Again, at this point in the discussion, Abaya did not know the original statement of Shmuel that we started the sugya with, that we started today with. So we have to figure out what statement of Shmuel could Rabbi Yehuda have used as a basis for his din that a kona is enough. Could it be based on what we learned on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, we learned yesterday, about a case that Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, Gag Hasamoch L'Shus HaRabim, that when you have a roof next to Rishus HaRabim, you need a permanent ladder there in place in order to be matir it. If not, then the Bnei Rosh Hasharabim aser it derech avir. We talked about yesterday about what the scenario is. Rashi understands that the scenario is the roof itself is more than 10 tefachim above the level of Rosh Hasharabim. But it fronts directly on Rosh Hasharabim. There's no chotzer between them. However, Rashi points out over here in our Gemara that usually when people had a house right next to Rosh Hasharabim or wall of any kind right next to Rosh Hasharabim, they would usually put some pegs in the ground. It's called chifufi. In various places in the Gemara, in Shabbos, for example, they would put pegs in the ground a distance of a couple of tefachim, 4 tefachim or so away from their wall. The idea being they don't want when people are walking in the street or when horses and buggies or whatever are riding down the street that they're going to rub against the wall and end up over time weakening and undermining the wall. So like this, they would have this. So they'd have these pegs knocked into the ground over there, sort of like you have in front of some buildings nowadays. You know, you have those concrete pillars to prevent cars from driving into them by accident or on purpose. So this is a similar kind of thing. You had pillars over there, or pegs or whatever, in order to prevent people from brushing by or horses or whatever from brushing by the wall. So therefore, in other words, people from now what happens? So again, Rashi's scenario is the roof itself is more than 10 tefachim above the ground. But next to the roof, also next to Rosh Hasharabim, you have a low down porch with a fence around it. And the porch is within 10 tefachim of Rosh Hasharabim. Now, the point is that people from Rosh Hasharabim are regularly using this porch in order to put down things and take things off, which means they have a certain use of it. And so therefore, if the owner of the house puts up a sulam kavua from the porch to his roof, demonstrating therefore that he wants to use this porch, that the porch is more exclusive to him, that yeah, practically speaking, people from Rosh Hasharabim are still going to be putting things on it, but it's really more his exclusive area now. So then he's allowed to carry between the roof and the porch on Shabbos. If not, then not. Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos has two different understandings of the scenario. Tosfos understands there's no porch involved because after all, the Mishnah, the Gemara, didn't mention anything about a porch. So Tosfos discusses either we mean that part of the roof itself is within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh Hasharabim and part of it is above 10. You have, for example, the ground slopes. Or the other possibility is that you have the whole roof is within 10 tefachim and it's surrounded by an enclosure mostly. So it's open on one side to Rosh HaSarabim, but the rest of it is enclosed by an enclosure. Same idea, in other words, so we're talking the roof itself. We're not talking the question of that about this little balcony over here. We're talking about the actual roof itself. Can the owner of the roof use it and carry things between it and his chotzer on Shabbos? So the answer is he needs a solemn kavua. He needs a permanent ladder or stairs over there in order to demonstrate that this is his rishus. Otherwise, it's considered kind of a joint rishus between him and the people of Rosh HaSarabim. Now, again, in our Gemara, Rashi points out we're focusing on the fact that even if the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim are using this roof, on the face of it, they're using it from a distance of only four or more tefachim away because of those pegs in the ground. They're not getting closer to the wall than that because the person deliberately put those pegs in because he doesn't want people brushing against the wall all the time. Now, so therefore, we deduce from that there you have a case. You have, they're using it ba'avir. You have the person himself owns the roof or the balcony or whatever. You have the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim that are using it from a distance of four tefachim. And Shmuel is telling us that unless you make a solemn kavua, it's considered an area where you have two groups jointly have control over it, the owner of the house and the people of Rosh HaSarabim. And therefore, you're going to need, and therefore, it's going to be also to carry on it. So we see that even carrying things derech avir is enough to aser, and that would explain therefore. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is deducing from that about our case of the well between the two chatzeros that in principle, therefore, there ought to be a certain iser involved in drawing water from it. But we allow them to put up a ziz or a kona, and we allow them to put up a kona in order as a heker in order to be able to. The problem with that is Dilma Kedira Papa. The problem with understanding that is maybe Shmuel's din is based on what the Papa said, which we said in the Gemara yesterday, that we're not talking about where the Bnei Rosh HaSarabim are putting heavy burdens on there. Where there, yeah, they might the thing needs to be a minimum. The thing needs to be 9 tefachim tall because otherwise it's inconvenient to put things on it. But also Tosfos points out, it's one thing if a person is using this roof in order to adjust a heavy burden very often they're carrying on a stick. So therefore, what'll happen is that, yeah, what they'll do is they'll take the stick off their shoulder and they're gonna bring it out towards the roof and put it down over there and adjust it and whatever. So that would be a distance of four tefachim away. But not necessarily is it like that. Rav Papa had said that we could be talking about a case where the people of Rosh HaSarabim just use this roof for putting down kumta v'sudra, which are hats and scarves or turbans or whatever. Kumta v'sudra are things like hats or scarves or turbans or whatever. So in other words, we're not l'chatchila even talking about where they're putting down such heavy objects on there. So therefore, this is the normal way of using it, even from four tefachim away. And also, Tosfos points out that because they're light things, because hats and scarves and whatever are light things, they don't even necessarily stay that far away from the wall and just bring their stick over. They reach over directly within four tefachim of the wall. So not necessarily is there a proof from that case that Shmuel would say that if you're using an area derech avir, that it should create a problem. So the answer is elameha. So after all, we have to say it is based on the original statement of Shmuel that we started with, zemotzi ziz kol shehu mamale, zemotzi ziz kol shehu mamale, where after all, now Abaya discovered the original statement of Shmuel that we began today's Gemara with. That Shmuel says that each side makes a ziz, and then so and then you're allowed to fill up water. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that actually Shmuel didn't mean only a ziz. It's good enough even if it's a koneh, because all you need it for is for a heker. But the very fact that you need a heker implies that normally you would have a problem. Time of the apik, implying only because you made a ziz or a kona, therefore it's good. Holy apik, but if you didn't make one, I mean an odom oso achaveda derech aver. Then you have one person can ask to the other one, even though there was a horizontal thing of four tefachim away. What do you want to say? Horizontal means going side to side. The scenario is... The space is more than four tefachim. The scenario we have here, the scenario that we started with is you have a well or pit, whatever, between, yeah. So you heard, yeah. So it's more than four tefachim away from each one of it's more than four tefachim away from each one of the chatzeres. Neither of the chatzeres actually opens into it. So the only use they have of it is derech avir. So the question becomes, do they need anything? According to Rav, they shouldn't need anything. According to Shmuel, they need something, namely a ziz. And then Rabbi Yehuda explains that actually they don't even really need a ziz, strictly speaking. All they need is a kana, is good enough, just some kind of hecker. Okay. Yeah. They're not right. If they were within four, then they would need an act, then they need to make a joint eight of chatzeres. Yeah. Well, that's we're saying, that's what Shmuel is saying. But now the question is, the Rav Mehecha, okay, where in turn do we get Rav's shita that a person cannot aser on somebody else derech aver? We established now that Shmuel holds you could. That's why he says you need the ziz in the case of the well over here. Where do we see that Rav, now Abaya in his discussion just now, took it as a given that Rav would hold ein odom oisra chaveira derech aver, which means that in this case of the well, Rav would say you don't need a ziz or a kona or anything. Where do we get that from? Where do we see that Rav said something that implies that ein odom oisra chaveira derech aver? We have to realize, by the way, in general, when we learn Gemara, not always when we, many times when we quote something in the name of a Tana or an Amora, doesn't mean he actually said those exact words. Many times what it is he said a certain din from which we can deduce, from which we can generalize a certain din that he would hold. So this is how we are over here also. So e lema meha. So are we going to say that we're going to base it on this that we learn in a Mishnah in a couple of days, which we talked about yesterday? We had the case of two porches above the water, one higher than the other, and we explained over there that we're gonna learn the Mishnah later on in the Perek. The idea is, if your porch sticks out over the water, over a lake or the ocean or whatever, and you want to draw water from it, the problem is the lake or whatever is a karmelis. Your house and your porch are shusha yachid, and you can't carry from one to the other on Shabbos. What we have you do is we have you make a mechitza either above or below your porch. The mechitza has to be, as usual, like any mechitza, 10 tefachim tall. But if you make it below your porch, even though now the ends of it are far above the water, that doesn't matter because it's called mechitza tluya. Usually we say mechitza tluya is no good. It needs to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. But here, when it comes to drawing water, the chachamim were makel. So we said, suppose you have two porches like that. One of them is higher than the other. Now, higher doesn't mean literally above the other one. It means offset from the other one, but the offset is less than 4 tefachim. They're side by side, but not quite, because one is a bit higher than the other. The distance between the end of one and the beginning of next is less than 4 tefachim horizontally. But it's and as far as how high it is vertically, that we discussed yesterday in the Gemara, about whether we're talking about that they're more than 10 tefachim apart in height, or whether they're within 10 tefachim in height. But as far as the horizontal distance, the distance is less than 4 tefachim from the end of one till the beginning of the other, but they're offset a bit. So so we say over there, also mechitza la'oyonav, also mechitza la'tachtoina, if the upper porch made themselves a mechitza, like they're supposed to, and the lower one did not, and we're talking about, again, as we said over there, that let's say they joined together in making the mechitza, they both chipped in together, or they gave them permission to use it or whatever. So shtein asuras ad she'aruv, both the people of both porches are also to draw water until they make an eruv. If they were more than 4 tefachim apart, then it would be like the equivalent of having a ditch between them, which is 4 tefachim wide. Then they can't make an eruv between them. Then it would be two separate rishuyos. But if they're within 4 tefachim of one another, so the height difference, so at this point, that so the height difference doesn't matter so much. That's what we have to figure out. The height difference matters as far as zrika and shilshul and all that good stuff about what are we considering? How are the people from the lower chotzer going through that to get their water? Are they actually throwing the bucket upward to go down through the hole and through the mechitza? Or are they, we said yesterday, they could be walking up there by stairs, we talked about they could be within 10 tefachim of another, and therefore it would be again like the case of the roof next to the Rosh Hashanah, where we said within 10 tefachim of each other, you have a problem. Anyway, so we said shtei nasturas ad she'aruv. So both of them are also to draw water until they make an eruv. Ve'omer Rav Huna Omer Rav, and Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, which if we can show that that has to do with the case that we were talking about, Derech Aver, then it shows what Rav's opinion is. Loi Shonu Ela B'smucha. This only applies if the two porches are within four tfachim, the edge of one is within four tfachim horizontally of the edge of the other. Aval B'muflegas Abba, if they're four or more tfachim apart, El Yonim Uteres V'tachtoina Asura, then the upper one is mutter to draw water through their mechitza, and the lower one is not. Now, the point is, there it's an example of derech aver, because how would the lower one be drawing water? They would have to throw their bucket four tfachim horizontally to the other porch, then vertically down through the hole and draw the water. If they climbed up, then it's not right. But the point is, in other words, it is derech aver because there's a distance of more than four tfachim between the end of their porch and the beginning of the next porch. So and Rav says that in that case the upper one is allowed to draw water. So therefore, so you see on the face of it that derech aver, there's no problem, because that's exactly the situation over here where you have derech aver because the lower one is more than four tfachim away from the higher one. No, that's why. Well, it's also for the bottom one, but it's mutter for the top one because the top one doesn't have anybody else there to aser. You have the people from the lower one are able to throw their bucket horizontally. Rav says, I don't care about that. Shmuel would care about that, as we just said before, but Rav wouldn't care about it. That's the difference. That's why Rav says if they're less than four tfachim apart, then you have a problem because then it's not derech aver. Then it's considered in effect as though it was vertical. But if you and then you have the problem that we discussed before, where it's lazeb is shilshul, lazeb is zrika, where you have one group is using it by throwing and then lowering, and the other is using only by lowering. It's a little bit easier to do it by lowering, but we said before, Rav doesn't necessarily care about how easy versus how hard it is. Shmuel cares about that. So that would show maybe that Rav holds that derech aver is not a problem. The fact that you have to go from your porch over here and throw it like this, and then like this, throw it out like this horizontally, four tfachim, to reach the edge of the other porch, and then vertically down through the hole. Rav would say that as long as it's four tfachim distance, then it's not a problem. The problem with that is Doma Shiny Hocha. Maybe the difference is the Kivin de Lazeb is Zrika Vishilshul, Vilazeb is Shilshul Lachode. After all, there is a difference in how difficult it is for each one to use it. Fine, we talked about at the beginning of the Sugya a couple of Dafim ago that Rav would say if one group is using the thing by Shilshul only and the other one is using it by Zrika only, then we would say that then Rav says it's also to both of them. But here you have that because they both have equal use of it. Neither one's use is any easier than the other. But here you have the people on the bottom need Zrika and Shilshul. They have to throw the bucket horizontally and they have to dip it down vertically, whereas the people on the top one are able to use it only with Shilshul L'chodeh. Maybe according to Rav, we should consider it the equivalent of one of them having the direct use of it, like a Pesach, and the other one having the indirect use of it, like Zrika. And Rav would say in that case, it belongs to the people who have the Pesach. So nothing to do with whether they're four tfachim apart or not. Even though they're more than four tfachim apart, if let's say the two porches were on an equal level, let's say for example it was the other way around, the lower one let's say had made the mechitza and not the upper one, maybe we would say so then both of them are using it through zrika even though it's more than four tfachim apart. Maybe Rav would say there's a problem only because of a here they need first zrika and then shilshul, only therefore would Rav say that compared to shilshul that's not considered real tashmish, it's not considered a real use. Well, fine, that was Shmuel's Svara, that therefore Shulshul is easier than Zrika, therefore you give it to the people who can do Shulshul, but Rav didn't accept that Svara. So yeah. So no proof from that particular case that if you have them more than four tfachim apart, that there wouldn't otherwise be a problem. Again, returning to our case of the well between the two chatzeres, we're trying to figure out how we know that Rav would say you don't need anything, no ziz, no kona, no nothing. How do we know that Rav would say that? Maybe Rav would say, in that case, they're both using it equally through Zrika and Shilshul. Maybe that would be enough for them to aser one on the other, unless they make a joint Erev. So how do we know that not? Ela mehod amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Bavu amar Rav. Rather, we can try to prove what Rav says from what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Bavu, who in turn said in the name of Rav. Here's a scenario. Sholosh shnei batim, the sholosh churves beinehem. Suppose you have two regular houses. Reuven lives in one, Shimon lives in the other. In between them, you have three churvos. You have three ruined houses. Now, at this point in the discussion, the Gemara is assuming that the three ruined houses are all in a row. So you have Reuven's house, churva number one, churva number two, churva number three, Shimon's house. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis that it's a bit of a different scenario. But right now, for the beginning of the discussion, we're assuming that all of them are in a row. No, because the first house is right next to the first churva. But the point is, in other words, that the churvas, obviously being churvas, nobody is living over there. They are open completely one to the other. They are open completely or more or less completely one to the other because the walls between them fell down. The outer wall surrounding them is still intact. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Rosh Hashanah Yochid Bechlal. Then there's nothing to talk about bringing things from the houses to them on Shabbos. But we're talking about the outer walls of them are still intact. The inner walls between them are broken down. The roofs are gone also. Rashi also adds a detail that the owners of these churvas have to be Reuven and Shimon respectively. Rashi learns that if the churvas were owned by other people, then the whole discussion we're going to have now in the Gemara wouldn't apply because even though they don't actually live there, nevertheless they would aser. Nevertheless, the owners of those houses would aser. Now, we learned in the previous perek, we had a case over there involving a churva open to a mavoi, and Rashi learned the same way over there, that you're not allowed to carry through the mavoi into the churva. Because Rashi learned over there that even though the churva is not, even though nobody lives in the churva, Nevertheless, Rashi would learn, fine, the churva doesn't aser. In other words, let's say Rashi learns like this. When you have churvas in between, if Reuven and Shimon wanted to make a joint Eruv, then fine. The fact that the churvas belong to Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar wouldn't be a problem because Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar don't live there. Therefore, Reuven and Shimon could make a joint Eruv if they wanted. But in terms of actually carrying, and then they'd be able to carry back and forth between their houses through the churvas. So they'd be able to throw things or whatever between their houses across the churvas. However, Rashi learns what they're not allowed to do is to carry in the churvas themselves if they belong to other people. Tosfos disagreed. Now, we learned that back on Daf Ayin Dalet when we had a case involving a mavui with a churva next to it on one side where Rashi learned No, that was a different case. The Shamash didn't sleep in the churva. The Shamash slept in a room adjacent to the shul. That was a different case we had over there. But Rashi had learned over there. Fine, the churva doesn't aser the mavui and make it that since he didn't join in the shit of mavoyas, then they can't carry in the mavui. Fine, they can carry in the mavui, but they can't carry into the actual churva. Now, over there and also over here, Tosfos disagrees with that whole premise. If the owner of the churva doesn't need to join in the eruv, there can't be an isser to carry between the house and the churva. Therefore, Tosfos learns over here. Fine, same scenario as Rashi. So far, we're assuming that the three churvas are between the two houses, but it doesn't matter who owns the churvas. Even if other people own them, it doesn't matter. The same dinim that we're going to discuss in the Gemara now would apply. We talked about if the person is living there for Shabbos or not. We're going to revisit that in tomorrow's Gemara Bez Hashem. Nevertheless, though, Rashi says that's true as far as whether he assers or not, but not as far as whether you can carry there or not. Rashi learns that even though you have a house where nobody is living in for Shabbos, fine, he doesn't have to join in the Erev Chatzeres for that Shabbos. They can carry and ignore the fact that that his house is there. However, they can't actually carry in and out of his house. Rashi would learn, yeah. But they can carry in the rest of the chatzor, in between the chatzeres and the houses and whatever, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so no, so if so that's the thing, if they were to make a joint Eruv, then obviously they can carry. So according to Rashi, they could make a joint Eruv between them, Reuven and Shimon. Fine, practically speaking, the Eruv is not going to help to carry through the Chorbis, but it'll help, for example, that let's say they have, I don't know, if they have a Chotzer in the back behind all of this, then they'd be able to carry through it or something. But whatever, the point. The, if people lived in the Chorvus and they didn't join in, obviously they'd ask her. But the point we want to get at over here is Reuven allowed to throw things or drop things into the Chorva next to his house? And is Shimon able to do the same thing with the Chorva next to his house? Let's say, for example, imagine, you know, they filled up a garbage bag on Shabbos and now they need some place to put it. So they put it out the window and drop it into the Chorva next to them. Are they able to do that? That's called using the Chorva. That's called using it al yidei shoshul. Al yidei shoshul, because 10 tefachim lower than them. So Rav says, shnei batim b'sholosh chorvas b'neihem, if you have two houses, and between them are three chorvas, zem ishtamash b'samuch shaloy al yidei zrika, so Reuven is allowed to use the one next to his house by throwing things into it. V'zem ishtamash b'samuch shaloy al yidei zrika, the other one also uses it through zrika, which is again Zrika is he's throwing things down into it. Now what they're not able to do is they're not able to throw into each other's ones. So Reuven is not allowed to throw across into the Chorva near Shimon's house, or vice versa. And continues Rav, Vahim Tsoi Osir, the middle one is going to be Osir to both of them. Now, again, at this point, we assume, now the Gemara is soon going to explain that the scenario is a little bit different than we explained. The Gemara is going to explain soon that the Emtsoi is actually not between the other two Chorvas, it's actually next to the other two Chorvas. You have the three of them are arranged like this, one, like a segel. Yeah, exactly, the Gemara is going to say in a second. But right now, the Gemara is going with the assumption that we're talking about that they're in a row. So the Gemara tells Yosef. So therefore, you have an example where you're using Al Yidei Zrika, and the Chorvas are open one into another because again the walls between them have fallen down. And still, Rav says that Reuven and Shimon are allowed to use the ones respectively next to their houses, implying therefore that one is not asuing the other, even though they're open one to the other. So the Gemara tells Yosef Reb Brunner v'ka'amala hashmaita. Reb Brunner was sitting over and saying the statement of Rav. Amalei Reb Eliezer, Reb Elazar, really it's supposed to be. So Reb Elazar says to him, Barbe Rav, younger man, like we would say nowadays, young Tamad Chacham. Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that? Reb Elazar figured if Rav says the middle one is Osir, the other ones on the side also have to be Osir because they're, if the middle one is Osir, then the ones next to it also have to be also, especially they're open one into the other. Amalei Ein, so Rabbanan tells him yes. So he says, Achvi liushpize, show me where he's staying. That also we had on Dafai and Dalib. There we had with something that Shmuel said, and Rabbi Lazar found it strange and he went to ask Shmuel about it. Now you have the same thing with Rav. So he asks him, Amal Mar Hochi, did you Rebbe really say this? Amalei Ein, he says yes. Amalei, so Rabbi Lazar tells him, "V'ha'mahu de'amalei zeb shulshu v'lazeb zuka shnei nasturin." Didn't you yourself say that when you have a place where one group has to use it with shulshul by lowering things down, and the other one has to use it by zrika by throwing things, we still say they're both osir? So now, in other words, even though shulshul is easier than zrika, and that was why we said Shmuel would allow it to the people who do shulshul, but Rav disagrees. But nevertheless, Rav would say it's not really like a pesach for either one of them, so it's osir to both. The same thing, these chorvas are not really like a pesach to either one, so therefore, why should it be mutter to either one of them? No, but they're all open one into the other, and they're all open one into the other, and they're all, yeah. So they're not using the middle one, but that's the question. In other words, once the middle one is osir, then why would the middle one be osir? Because adam osir chaveira derech aver. Because we say the third one, the middle one, is far away from the two houses respectively. The only way to get things there is by pitching them horizontally, and we're saying both of them are osir, showing, in other words, that adam osir chaveira derech aver. By the same logic, then the same thing should apply to the ones that are closer to them, because also the other guy can use it derech aver. He can throw straight through and reach the other one. We're not talking about Rishuyas Daraisa. Rishuyas Daraisa, we're going to get to in another point in a minute. Right now, we're strictly talking about the dinim of Eruv Chatzeres Derabanan. So we don't as long as the thing fits the definition of a Rishuyas Yachad Daraisa, which it does because the outer walls are still intact, then we, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so Amale, so Rav answers him, Mi Savra Tekaimi Keshura. You're thinking that the scenario we're talking about is where the three churvas are in a row next to the other. Loi, Tekaimi Kechatsuva. No, the case is that they're arranged like a chatsuva, like you said, like a segel. A chatsuva actually is a tripod, like a tripod like they used to use to put pots on the fire, for example. That's the Gemara's normal way of saying when things are in a triangle. Yeah, nowadays they use it as a tripod for a camera, of course. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, you see the diagram here in the Gemara. So on one side, yeah, on one side you have a bias, you have a house, which is Reuven's. On the other side, you have another house, which is Shimon's. In between, you have on one side two churvas, and on the other side, next to them, you have another churva. So when we talk about the middle one being Osir, the middle one is Osir. It's not Derech Aver because they're right next to it. So therefore, both of them are also, because they both have the joint use of it. As opposed to the other ones, there's not a problem. Why? Because Rav says that they're not asking derech aver. So Reuven can use the one next to his house. He's also physically able to throw things through that into the one next to Shimon's house. Doesn't matter. That would be derech aver. And Rav doesn't have a problem with derech aver. So therefore, so the one next to Shimon's house will remain mutter to Shimon. Rashi also points out that now getting back to the beginning when we talked about the well between the two chatzeres, we said over there that we're saying over there that according to Shmuel you need a ziz, and according to Rav you don't need anything. So why over there is Rav allowing you to draw water, and here he's not allowing you to use the middle one? No, it's not because water is different. Rashi says because a churva you use many different things for. You use a churva, you can use it nearby, you can just drop things right out your window and they fall directly down. You can throw things further into the churva, whatever. So you have, there's multiple ways of using it as opposed to when it comes to a pit. The only way to use it is milui, and then the only way you're using it is the one thing, to draw water from it, and that involves necessarily going out for tfachim. As opposed to, in other words, with the churva, there's not even necessarily ever going out for tfachim because you can just reach direct right out your window and drop something down into the churva. So there, the kula of water can't be used, but it's not so much because of the special kula of water, it's because over there, necessarily, the only way you're using it is ayudei aver, whereas with a churva, you're not necessarily only using it ayudei aver, you can also be using it just by shilshul, just by dropping things right out your window. You can also throw things, but that's zrika, so you have two different ways of using it. No, in other words, the scenario is that your house directly overlooks the churva. So therefore, you can either just reach right out the window and drop something directly down, or you can throw something out your window and travels four tfachim or more horizontally before it lands on the ground. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Getting back now to Shmuel's case about the burr between the two chatzeres, Amalei de Papa Rava, Lema Shmuel Lesle de Rabdimi. Would we have to say then that Shmuel, when he says that you need a ziz or a kana in order for the two people from the chatzeres to draw water from the well, would we have to say that Shmuel does not agree with Rabdimi's din? Which, fine, he doesn't have to. Shmuel and Rabdimi are both Amiroim, but still, we would try to assume that Rav Dimi's din, which he's saying in the name of Rav Yochanan, that everybody accepts it unless we have reason to say otherwise, which is this is why we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to Ravina and Rav Ashi for arranging the Gemara for us the way we had it. The Bnei HaYeshiva, when they were discussing, they wouldn't necessarily have quoted Rav Dimi's statement. They would have just said, because they would have known which statement of Rav Dimi we're talking about. The Yerushalmi is a lot like that. A lot of times when the Yerushalmi points out a contradiction between one thing and another, it won't quote it necessarily, and it'll be Tzaymach on us, the Bnei HaYeshiva, that we know what it's talking about. Ravina and Rav Ashi did us a favor and actually typed out for us which statement of Rav Dimi we're referring to. Yeah. A place between Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is less than 4x4, so it's a makam p'tur. Mutter l'bnei Rosh Hashanah Rabbim l'bnei Rosh Hashanah Yachid l'katif olav. People from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and people from Rosh Hashanah Yachid are allowed to stop there in order to adjust their burdens, because not a problem, because you're taking from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into makam p'tur, or Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Yachid into makam p'tur, or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into makam p'tur, and that's fine. Ovil vad shelo yachlifu, but they just can't exchange things. They can't have the person from Rosh Hashanah Yachid put something down over there, and then the person from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim picks it up, or vice versa. Midarai, so that wouldn't be an issue either. But Midrabanan, we don't want you to do that. The point being, Rashi says that putting something down on a place less than 4x4 tefachim is not really considered a hanacha. So it's the equivalent of using it ba'aver. It's the equivalent of using just by moving it horizontally through the air. And still we're saying and we're saying that it's mutter, whereas according to Shmuel, you should need a ziz in order to do that. According to Shmuel, you should need a ziz overhanging the mokum tur in order to be able to take something from Shasi Yachid and put it on there or whatever. The answer is, the difference is there you're talking about a question of what rishus is it daraisa, rishus yachid, rishus rabim, makam tur. So there it's an isur daraisa to take from rishus yachid and rishus rabim. Therefore, the chachamim didn't require a heker for a case like this where you're going to be putting it in makam tur. Hacha rishus drabanan. Here, all of it is a rishus yachid daraisa. The whole thing we're dealing with is the matter of erev chatzeres, which is strictly a din drabanan. And therefore, we need a heker according to Shmuel. The Chachamim also chizuk l'divreim yosi mishal Torah. The Chachamim made us. The Chachamim strengthened their takanas even more than the din of the Torah. Sometimes we have that because a din daraisa people are less likely to be careless with. If you allow them to put it down in the makom tur, there's less of a chance that they're going to directly take from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim or vice versa, because they know it's also daraisa. But when it comes to over here, we're dealing over here with drawing water from this well in the alleyway between the two chatzeres. The whole issue on it is only dirabanan. If we don't make them make a ziz, Shmuel says, then people are going to get careless and think that you're allowed in general freely to bring something from one person's rishus into the other one's rishus. Because after all, it's all rishus yachad daraisa. What's the problem? No. That's what we're saying. Makom Tur was not an issue. But over here, where you have the well in between, where you have here's his Rishus, and we require an Eruv Chatzeres to carry in between. So if we don't make a Ziz, Shmuel is concerned that people are going to get careless with the whole din of carrying from one Chatzer to another. No, so if you made an Eruv Chatzeres between them, they don't need the Ziz. The case we're talking about is here, they didn't make a joint Eruv Chatzeres, and they really can't, actually, because they don't have, because it's more than four tefachim separate from each wall, and they don't have a way of walking from one to the other, because again, only their windows overlook it, not their, yeah. Okay. They can't even make an Eruv, right. Yeah. Now, getting back now to Rav, Amalei Ravina L'Rava, Mi Amar Rav Hachi. Now let's get back to Rav's opinion, which is that as long as one, in the case of the churvas, where we said that one person can't aser it to another one by way of avir, so therefore that's why we said the two churvas that are next to the two houses, Reuven can use the one next to his, even though Shimon conceivably could throw something in there, that's not a problem because more than four tefachim away, and vice versa. Did Rav really say that? We have another discussion. Suppose a person has two houses, one on each side of a Rishus Rabim. So if they belong to different people, then there's nothing to talk about because they can't make an Eruv between them. But let's say the two houses belong to one person, and they're across Rishus Rabim from one another. Rabba Barav Huna Amar Rav, also Lizruk Mizelazeh. So Rabba Barav Huna says in the name of Rav, he's still also to throw from one to the other. Now, this is, he's throwing it across Rishus Rabim, above 10 Tfachim. The people above, so it's the Aver of Rishus Rabim, they don't really have the use of it, only by way of Zrika or whatever. So and yet we're saying that it's also Ushmul Amamotu Lizruk Mizelazeh. So you see that even though they only have the use of it in Avir, nevertheless, it's still also to throw from one to the other. So by the same logic, in the case of our Chorvas, it should be also for Reuven to be able to drop things into the Chorva next to him, because Shimon could be throwing things into there from his house and vice versa. In the case of the Chotzer, they should require a Ziz or something. How can Rav say that you don't need that if Rav is saying over there that you can't throw across from the one house to the other? Amalei, No, but it's above Rishus Rabim. It's 10 tefachim. It's makom tur anyway. So, but the point is that we don't say. The point is we seem to be saying, even though it's going through makom tur, the fact is it's over the aver of Rishus Rabim. The people of Rishus Rabim have the use of it. They have a very limited use of it, and nevertheless, that's enough to aser. So we see that even the very limited use of derech aver is enough to create a problem. No. You say they can't. That's the point. They can't make an eruv between the two houses to be able to carry on ground level, right? For that, they would need doors in Rishus Rabim. But here, we're talking about throwing things across from the roof of one to the roof of the other one. Let's say, and Rav is still saying that's no good. Amalei, Rava answers him. Lav mi ukimna demadli chad mitati chad. As a matter of fact, you should realize that in the Gemara Shabbos over there, and actually it wasn't even because of this question, it was because of a different question that the Gemara asked over there. The Gemara explained that we're talking about demidli chad or mitati chad. We're talking about the two roofs are not on an equal, are not on the same level. One of them is higher than the other one. And the reason why Rav is saying you can't throw from one to the other, nothing to do with derech aver. If they were on an equal, if they were on the same level, Rav would have no problem with you throwing things from one to the other. The problem is zimnin demigander. The problem is that if you throw something from one to the other and one is higher than the other, then the thing may fall down. It rolls down into Rosh Hashanah Abim, the nuffel, and it falls down. Demigander, it rolls the nuffel and it falls into Rosh Hashanah Abim, the osil isuya, and then he's going to forget it's Shabbos and go down to Rosh Rabim to pick up his thing and bring it back to the house, where then he's over on carrying Daraisa. So because of that, so it's because of that Gzera that Rav says that he can't be throwing from one roof to another. Nothing to do with the question of Avir of Rosh Rabim, just the fact that it may fall into Rosh Rabim. No, but that's we Rav considers that's a reasonable enough concern. Shmuel is saying Shmuel. Now Rashi points out, according to Shmuel, there's no problem. Shmuel, who says that Adam Oisra Chaveira Derech Aver, but yet he allows you to throw from one roof to another, even if they're on unequal levels. Fine, we just said before that that Shmuel would say Rishuyas Deraisa, we don't have to make extra chumris. But whereas when it comes to Rishuyas Derabanan, we do, because people are likely to be more careless with Dinim Derabanan. But according to Rav, so we're saying if the roofs are on equal levels, they're on the same height, then there's no problem. You can throw things from one to the other. The Avir Rosh Hashanah Abim is not going to create a problem, because according to Rav, Avir doesn't create a problem. Only if they're on unequal levels, has nothing to do with Avir Rosh Hashanah Abim, has to do that it might fall in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and then he's going to go pick it up. So if it's on the same level, then there's no problem. If it's on different levels, that's where Rav is saying, that's when he's saying, so he's not worried about Avir, he's worried that it may fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim when he throws it, yeah. Yeah, because it's horizontal. You mean vertical would be up and down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Mishnah says, if a person places his Eruv food in a base shire, which is a gatehouse, or an achsadra, which is a porch, which is closed in on three sides and open on the fourth, or what? The first one is a base shire, is a gatehouse. Like you have a chotzer, sometimes you have this, you have a little room in front of the chotzer. When people are going in and out of the chotzer, they walk through this little room. Like you have, think of, for example, the guardhouses that you have in some places, what would be an example of a base shower that you might see nowadays? Like you have one example, I guess, would be like you have some buildings, for example. You have, let's say, you know, you have the front doors, and then you have like a little vestibule over there, and then you have the doors after that where you go into the actual building itself. So, yeah. Yeah, okay, that would be another example. Another example I can think of is when you're going down, you think of when you're going down to the Coastal, when you have the guard stations over there, not the one from Shara Ashbos, but the one over there that when you're coming from the middle of the old city, from the steps or whatever, so you have a little room, you have a little building over there with the metal detector and the guards and whatever over there. You go through that, and then you go through the metal, and then you go down the steps. That would be an example of a base shower. Yeah. So if you place your Eruv in that, or Achsadra, which is closed in on three sides and open on the fourth, or Mirpeses, or a gallery, like we talked about before, where the apartments open out into it, Enoi Eruv, that's not a valid Eruv, because the Eruv has to dafka be placed in a house. And if a person lives in such a place, in a base shire or achsadur or mepeses, he doesn't aser, meaning he doesn't have to party, he doesn't have to contribute to the eruv. The fact that he's living there, it's not considered living. It's not considered a dira, so therefore it's not considered that he's living there. On the other hand, Besa Teven or Besa Bakr or Besa Eitzim or Besa Oitzris. On the other hand, if you have in the chotzer a building where you store straw, or where you keep cattle, or where you store wood, or where you store other kinds of things, like wine or whatever, Hareza Eruv, if you placed your Eruv in that building, it is a valid Eruv, because those are buildings you could conceivably live in them. As far as the base shire, achsadra, and mepesis, the vote is the achsadra and the mepesis are not completely enclosed, so it's not a normal place to live. And as far as the base shire, it's completely enclosed, but people are always walking through, so it can't really be considered a normal place to live. It'd be like living in an elevator or something. He spends, but he doesn't actually live there. He doesn't sleep there. He doesn't, yeah.
The elevator operator also.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, okay. So again, but if you put the Eruv in a Beis HaTeven or Beis HaBakar, etc., Hareza Eruv, then it is a valid Eruv, because those are actually enclosed buildings and a person could conceivably live there. V'hadosham Oyser, and if a person lives in one of these buildings, then he does Aser, meaning he has to contribute to the Eruv, or else he Asers everybody to carry in the Chatzar, unless he does Bitul Rishos. Rabbi Yehuda, im yesham tfisas yad shabala bayis. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have over there in that building, in the Beis HaTeven or whatever, if the bala bayis has a place in that apartment where he keeps things of his own, enei oiser, then the person who lives there does not aser, because then in effect he's still considered a guest of that bala bayis. Now you do have a machlokas aposkim about that. First of all, does it have to be that he actually has something there, or just that he has permission to keep something there? We'll see in the Gemara tomorrow what kind of thing it has to be that's there. What kind of object it is? We'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what kind of objects have to be there in order for this din to apply. Another point that the poskim make is, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, is that this only applies to a landlord and a tenant. If you have, for example, Reuven and Shimon, each one owns their own house, and Reuven has permission to store something in Shimon's house, that's not enough to make Shimon be considered his guest. Shimon is still going to have to participate in the Eruv. Only when you have Shimon as Reuven's tenant, then we say that if Reuven stores something, as we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, what the something is, in Shimon's house, then Shimon can be considered his guest, and therefore he doesn't have to contribute separately to the Eruv. That's true, but you're saying as if everybody has a dira in the one place, right? But here we're talking about that if, to begin with, we're going to talk about in the Gemara tomorrow. Let's say for example, we're going to give an example in the Gemara tomorrow. Reuven stores, let's say, a plow blade in Shimon's house, and a plow blade is something which is mukti. You can't move it on Shabbos for any purpose. So now it's considered as though already he to a certain extent lives in Shimon's house. Therefore, Shimon is not going to have to contribute separately to the Eruv. Reuven has to contribute, but Shimon is a tenant, and Shimon, therefore, in effect, is considered like his guest. Precisely because you can't use it on Shabbos. Otherwise, it could be moved away during Shabbos. We'll talk about that point tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Okay. So that could be an example, actually. So that would be a good example. Yeah, if you live, let's say, in an apartment building or whatever, and let's say, yeah, the landlord owns the appliances, for example, yeah, that would be an example of this kind of thing. Yeah. No, they may not go in there, but the very fact that they own an appliance which is in your unit, that could be enough to be considered that they have tefisas yad, according to the Bihoda. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bashilas. Now, I should mention you do have a further opinion about that. You have Rabbeinu Yehonasan learns that would only apply if either the Eruv food is being placed in Reuven or Shimon's house, or if there's no other tenants if there's no other people living in the Chatzar other than Reuven and Shimon. But if you had other people living there, then he says it would be Alderach, like we had the story a couple of weeks ago about children that regularly eat by their father's house, but they have their own houses in the Chatzar, where we said that if there are other people in the Chatzar and the food is being brought to one of the other houses, then each of them has to contribute individually to the Eruv, because to that extent, they're considered like separate households. Only if the Eruv food is being brought to them, or if there's nobody else living in that Chatzar, then we say they don't need an Eruv. So the same Rabbeinu Yehonasan says the same thing over here. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. The Alter Rebbe brings both opinions. Very uncharacteristically, the Alter Rebbe doesn't say, as he usually does when he brings two opinions, that we can follow this one, we can follow that one. The Alter Rebbe just brings the second opinion, Yesh Oimrim, and leaves it at that. Maybe because we usually say, Halacha Kedivra Meiko Be'eruv, maybe, I don't know. Anyway. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bashilas. Kol Mokem Sha'amru Hador Sham Enei Oiser. Here's a general rule. Whenever we say that when a person lives in a certain place, he's not asering, like we said in our Mishnah, for example, about an achsadra, that a person who lives in an achsadra doesn't create a problem for the other people in the chatzar because it's not a base dira. So then the rule is, hanoisin es eruv ein eruv, if you were to place the eruv food for the chotzer in that achsadra, and then it would be no good, chutz mi beis shaar de yachid, with the exception of a beis shaar of a yachid, meaning suppose you only have one person living in the chotzer, and then you have a second person living in the beis shaar. So the base shower, so we would say the person who lives in that base
ring, because the fact is that the person who's living in the base shower is not creating a problem, because the fact is it's not a dira. On the other hand, you would be allowed to place the able there. And here's a second general rule. Wherever the Chachamim said there's a place where you can't put the Eruv, for example, an Achsadra or whatever, manichin bay shittuf, you would, however, be allowed to place the shittuf over there, chutz me aver mavri, except for the actual airspace of the mavri. The according to most Rishonim, the shittuf can be anywhere in the chotzer or in the houses that open into the chotzer. It can't be in the actual mavri, but it could be in the chotzer or in one of the houses. According to Tosfos, it dafka has to be in the chotzer. But the point is, though, that so they could put the shittuf if they wanted it in a base shaar or an achsadra or whatever. They just can't place it in the actual mavri itself, because as the Gemara is going to say in a second, the food for the shittuf has to be reasonably well protected. You don't just want the people in Rosh Hashanah should be able to walk in and take it. If it's in the mavri, they can just directly go and take it. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon." Okay, but what's Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid of Shmuel bar Shilas says chidush? Tanena, we said in the Mishnah, "Anoisin es eruv beis shaar achsadra v'peses eina eruv." We said if you place it in one of these places, not an eruv, implying eruv hu deloy havi hashitov havi, implying that it wouldn't work as an eruv, but it would work as a shitov. So what's his chidush about where you can place it and where you can place the shitov?
So a
shitov
would work.
Right. The answer is beis shaar de yochid ba'avad mavi tzrichaloy v'leitan. Yes, but Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is about the case of the base shaar de yochid. The Mishnah tells us that if a person is living in a base shaar, he doesn't aser and can't place there the eruv. We wouldn't realize from the Mishnah that there's a distinction whether the base shaar is for one person, for one individual person's house versus for a bunch of people who live in the chotzer. And the same thing, as far as the Mishnah didn't mention anything about shittuf at all. V'aver d'mavri yitzrichalei, and also the Mishnah didn't tell us anything about the airspace of the mavri as far as the shittuf. D'loy tznan, we didn't learn those, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us those details. Okay, the Gemara says, Tani nami hochi, hanoisid es eruv v'beis shaar achsadur v'peses uva chotzer uva mavri, hareza eruv. We learn similarly in a braisa. If a person places his eruv in a beis shaar or achsadra or mepeses or chotzer or mavoi hareza eruv, then it's an eruv. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? There's something wrong with the braisa. Well, it's not an eruv. We said it's not an eruv. So you're right. We have to fix up the braisa. Ema hareza shittuf. You're right. When the braisa used the word eruv, it means shittuf. So the problem with that is shittuf b'mavoi leminter. We just said Rabbi Huda had told us that you can't put it in the mavoi because not guarded, because not protected. Anybody could walk in and walk off with it. The answer is ema b'chotzer shebamavri. The answer is what the braisa means is you could place the food in a chotzer that opens into the mavri. It doesn't have to be in one of the houses. According to Tosfos, it can't be in one of the houses, but according to everybody else, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. It could be in the chotzer. It
can't be in the
According to Tosfos, it dafka has to be in a chotzer that opens to the mavri to demonstrate that it's meant to be matur to carry between the chotzeris and the mavri. So the point is, once we fix up the wording of the braisa, then the braisa is telling us exactly what Rav Shmuel bar Shilas said, which is that you can place the food for the shittuf anywhere except for the actual place of the mavri itself. Yeah. So in this connection, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, b'nei chavura shahi masubin. Suppose you have a bunch of people sitting and eating a meal together. We learned this previously also. V'kodesh shalein ayoyim, and Shabbos begins. So pas shalosh shochan semchan alein mishum eruv. They can use the bread on the table as their eruv chatzeres. V'amilam mishum shittuf. Others say they can use it as a shittuf. Amar Rabba v'loy pligi, and Rabba says there's no actual argument whether they can use it as an eruv as a shittuf. Kan m'masur m'bayis, kan m'masur m'chotzer. Depends. Are they eating in the house? Then they can use it as an eruv chatzeres, because that's where the eruv chatzeres has to be, in one of the houses. Are they eating in the chotzer? Then they can use it as a shittuf m'bayis, because that's where the shittuf m'bayis is in the chotzer. You have, by the way, a machloikas aposkim, whether he has to actually mizake the food to them, or whether just the fact that they were eating together and everybody has permission to eat from anything on the table is good enough to be considered that it's all theirs. Amalei Abaya l'Rabba. So Abaya tells Rabba, Tanya de Messiah. There is in fact a brisa that supports what you're saying. This din that if they're eating in the house versus they're eating in the chazer. A brisa says Erev Chatzeres b'chazer v'shitufei mavoyes m'lavu. The Erev Chatzeres goes in the chazer. The shituf mavoyes goes in the mavui. Vahavinan ba. And when we mention this brisa, we asked about it. What do you mean Erev Chatzeres b'chazer? V'atnan anosin esedov beis sharach sadur and passes eino Erev. We said it's not a valid Erev if we place it in an unenclosed area, in an area where a person doesn't normally live. A person doesn't normally live in the chazer. So how can you place the Erev Chatzeres in the chazer? So the answer is Ema Erev Chatzeres, but bias shabbat chotzer she tufu mevoyes b'chotzer shabbat. What the brisa actually means is the Erev Chatzeres goes in a house in that chotzer. Meaning Rashi says, as opposed to a house in a different chotzer, you can't say the Erev for this chotzer should go in a house in a different chotzer unless they're making a joint Erev, of course. But the same thing, the shittuf mevoyes is not in the mavri itself, but in a chotzer that opens into that mavri, rather than in a chotzer that opens into a different mavri. So the point is, in other words, so we see that yes, the food for the Eruv can be in any one of the houses that opens into the chotzer, and it's fine. So therefore, they were eating together, then they're able to use the bread that's on the table as their Eruv. The same thing they were eating in the chotzer, they can use the bread that's there in the chotzer, since that chotzer opens into the mavri, they can use it for the shittuf mavoyes. So that proves the point.
So
as far as Shmuel and Rab, the halacha is like Rab, usually in Dini Issa V'Heter. So as far as the question, as far as the well between the two chatzeres, they don't need a ziz, they don't need nothing. As long as it's derech aver, there's not a problem.
The aver does not answer.
As far as what we're dealing with in the Gemara over here, so we're saying, again, we have a number of dinim over here, that if a person, you have to have that a person is living in a base dira in order for him to have to participate in Eruv. And you have what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that if he has Tfisas Yad, which we'll deal with in more detail tomorrow, Best Hashem, what Tfisas Yad consists of exactly. And then you have, again, if it's a base Shao de Yochid, you're not, the person who lives there, if a person lives there, he doesn't have to participate in the Eruv, but you are allowed to place the Eruv food there. Because it's a base Shao de Yochid, only one person walks through it. Therefore, only one person walks back and forth through it. Therefore, you're allowed to place the Eruv food there.
And there's people living with the space, with the higher load.
So that was about Derech Aver and Derech Ben Derech Shoshul, where again, Halacha there was like Rab, that it's also to both of them. Where one group uses it with Shoshul and the other one uses it with Zrika, then yeah, it's also to both of them unless they make a joint Eruv.
Because of Aver.
Aver is horizontal. Here we're talking strictly vertically. Rab says because it's hard for both of them to use. And therefore they're even.
And therefore,
one of them asks to the other. Right. Okay. Yeah. Good everyone.
See, a few people are on the.
Yeah.